That's Battle Royale, a musical battle between Count Basie and his orchestra and Duke Ellington and his orchestra. It's from the 1961 album Battle Royale, The Duke Meets the Count, recorded and released on the Columbia label. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and today, Election Day, it's a battle royal for the White House. What are you doing on this day? What is your position on this remarkable day? That's what we're going to be talking about today. What are your reactions to this election? What are you doing? Are you voting? Not voting? Still thinking about it? Voting for other than the duopoly? This is the duopoly's big show, after all. They are in fine form today, all out war for not just the White House, but we have 44 state legislatures, 12 governorships, 7 big city mayoralties, and a slew of important local offices also up for grabs. But they are the dominant parties once again for all of this, to have absolute control over the systems at the federal, state, and local levels of government. Well, you know my views about this idea of the duopoly continuing to maintain a stranglehold on the political choices and the politics of this nation, really. And we did not see, and we have not seen, third-party movements, as they're called, but third parties really gaining very much ground. I don't expect that this election round will be any different. But I do suggest, as we have been talking about, this ought to be a year of some serious reckoning. All the indicators are telling us that we've got to really get serious about this business of politics. It is not something incidental to our lives. It's something very much at center of our lives. And we have to recalibrate our notion of our own power, the power to effect change. 888-874-4888. Let's talk about our thoughts today and feelings today. And it's okay. You don't have to have a special, predetermined opinion. We just want to know what you're thinking on this day. Has it sunk in, this reality? Has it sunk in yet where we are in the scheme of things? And what are the signals that you're getting about our immediate future? Once this charade is over, where next? I don't know about you, but I don't feel too enthusiastic about what's next. In fact, I see a rather dismal picture. Because this election cycle has shown us a dismal picture. The dismal picture is the degree, the pervasiveness of corruption, ineptness, just a rotten system. And we hand our lives to the system. We allow it to do with us whatever it chooses. And we have been allowing this for years, decades. And the events of this particular election cycle should tell us that it's time to really, really take a hard look at the damage we have done to ourselves by not grabbing onto the power that we do have and flexing our political muscles. This is a lesson that we hopefully will have learned. Patricia from New York, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Eutrice, and good afternoon to the PRN family. I hope all is well.
Thank you. And good afternoon to you, too.
Okay. I got up this morning at 6 o'clock, and my polling site is directly underneath my bedroom window. And the line at 6 a.m. this morning was literally, it was a mile long. And I marveled at that, and then I said, you know, I live in New York on the Upper West Side, which is the bastion of Hillary Trump, Democratic liberalism. And I said to myself, you know something, the thought of Hillary becoming the president is so noxious to me, I'm going to get up and go downstairs as soon as the show is over at 2 p.m., that's exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to go downstairs and vote for Jill Stein because it makes absolutely no difference to me. I told somebody this morning, my goal at this point, which has been from the very beginning, is to make certain that she does not see president before her name. So I'm going to go down and vote for Jill Stein. And then tomorrow, on Wednesday, I am going to continue to provide as much information as I can to those in my immediate circle who do not seem to be able to relinquish their fanaticism or investment in the Democratic Party. You know, I called into one of these Sunday morning shows last week, as I generally do, again attempting to provide another viewpoint. And the hosts of that Sunday morning show, which you know only too well, Bob Slade and Judge Pickett, said to me that while they understood my arguments for not voting for Hillary, that this was a protest vote. And I could not explain to them that their characterization of my viewpoint was not a protest. They cannot see beyond. Uh-huh. So yes or no, you either are for her or you're against her. And if you're not for her, you're for Trump. And if you vote against her, then you're throwing your vote away. Very simplistic thinking. So my goal tomorrow, Wednesday, the day after, is to make certain that people begin to think critically, engage in critical analysis and thinking. So that's where I am.
That line that you saw going around the block this morning, early this morning, what do you think those people are thinking about in terms of casting a vote? Who do you think they might go for?
Unfortunately, because I'm in the neighborhood that I am, everybody in this neighborhood is a Hillary person. I shouldn't say everyone, because I'm in the neighborhood and I'm not. But I would say that the overwhelming majority is voting for Hillary. Every person that I have spoken to and said this, and these are people who I've been having discussions with over the course of the primary season. So it's been almost 2 years. And people who had said to me that they were not going to vote for her, all of a sudden, in the last 2 days, have said, you know, you're throwing the vote away. So I do know where their heart is and can pretty much predict with some certainty what their vote is going to be.
How does that make you feel, by the way?
I cannot begin to tell you, because I thought I had done such good work, Hugh Treese. I was patting myself on the back.
Well, it looks as though
I'm going to get a D. I thought I had done a good job. I thought I was being a good student of Eutrice Lead, but clearly I didn't do my job well enough.
No, what has happened, of course, is that you're seeing the result of years and decades of conditioning. People being conditioned even against their own interests. But the mere fact that they are following through as they have been conditioned to do, that is the main goal, to maintain this unbreakable line of devotion to the Democratic Party. very, very tough to break.
Yeah.
And that's the result of excellent conditioning, excellent propaganda.
It was a sense. It was a sense of personal failure for me. I mean, I thought. I mean, up until I would say 2 weeks ago, these are people who had said, "Oh, I see what you're saying. I understand what you're saying, and I think you're right." This up until 2 weeks ago, and something happened over the last 2 to 3 days.
Yeah, it's called a sympathetic press. Thanks so much for your call
and for getting
us started today. Ali from New York, you're on the air.
Hi, Professor.
Hey, how you doing, Ali? I keep reminding you, you guys are the professors around here.
No, let me tell you something, you trees. I didn't listen to you since last week because for various reasons I was busy. But I heard Professor Gerald Horn. And one of the things that he did when you had him the last time, I thought it was marvelous. He said, "What do you think?" He put you on the same level as him, and he was asking you, "What do you think?" And you know what?
Being gracious.
And that right there, if you listen to that again, listen to how he said it. So you are our professor. Yes, I will have
well,
to
thank
do
you.
That.
What are your thoughts today?
Just listen to my good friend Patricia, and I will have to say, I didn't want to go and vote, but there is a gentleman here. He's an African-American. He's a judge that we live in the same building. And when my son was younger, he used to invite him. He used to work for a law firm. And he also belonged to, I think the program is called Big Brother, where he used to participate that too. And he used to take my son once in a while to some dinner with baseball player. So I just saw him last week, and he told me that he is running for the Supreme Court. To be a judge in the Supreme Court. He's an African American, and here, Patricia, he's on the Democratic line. I know that you're going to vote for his sign, but anybody who is in New York and he see his name is Robert Reed. And listening to Patricia, and I know that I need to put that vote for Robert because I know him personally. I think I'm going to have to go there and vote for Jill Stein, like my son just left just to vote for her. And I know that I said that I didn't want to go and vote. And I actually, when I saw him, that was my thing. I didn't want it, but I do have to because I know him personally. And as far as I know, he's a good man, so... And he's an African American, and I need to go and put that vote for him, even if that is the only little thing that I do today. And I just wanted to say that.
But overall, what do you make of the day today? By the end of the day, what would you have been able to confirm about your particular feelings, whatever they are?
My particular feeling is that I have been telling my son, this country to me. I feel very pessimistic about what is going on in this country. I have been having this conversation with a member from one of the groups that I belong to, and he's telling me the less of the two evil. And I told him you could never make half of a hole. As soon as you dig in, that is a hole. So when I get to hell, should I ask the devil, can you give me the less of the two evil here?
No, I didn't mean to laugh, but it is funny.
No, but I haven't all this conversation with him on a text message all this morning, and he wants to tell me that my thinking is very irrational. And I say, yes, when my family has seen me on Channel 1 protesting, they think that I'm going crazy. So irrational, yes, I must be like an irrational person. But you know what? I will stick to that. Like I said, I only am going to go out there for two reasons. And I do agree with you, Utrees. I don't think she's going to get the 5% that she needs for the third party. I just don't see it. But I'm going to go there and do it myself. And he keeps telling me, if everyone thinks the same way I'm thinking, a lot of people stay home, then this monster going to take over the country. I feel very pessimistic about what is happening in this nation, and especially in this city. And I just don't feel comfortable what is going on and what is going to happen, because something major is going to happen here.
But on the other hand, do you feel at least a little bit hopeful about the fact that people, maybe not in the volume of people, but there's a significant movement just beginning to swell up, beginning to show up? Are you at least interpreting that as a hopeful sign?
I'm going to tell you, for me, the millennials are my hope. Not because I have a millennial myself in my home, but it's because, and you know what is happening, he's 26 and he's still home. So you could imagine, it's another case where they get jobs and they can't even afford to pay to have their own apartment. So what I'm trying to say, but they do give me hope, because I belong to about, right now I belong to three groups, but two groups in the Pacific, and I meet some of them. And I'm going to tell you, that is the biggest hope, because these people, they know that the system has been rigged for years, and they see it. And some of the, you know, that's the only hope that I have right now for this country. Because, you know, after this election, Utrice, I think things gonna really, really change, I think, and I hope. Because with, as long as you are alive and you're breathing, you're part of this world. When you're gone, you're gone. And I hope that I could see a change in this country. And I do agree with you. Yes, there will be, I will have some hope. And the millennials right now, I really, really feel that they could really, really change some of the things that is going on in this country.
Thanks, Ali, for your contribution. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks.
Let's go to Chicago. Henry, you're on the air.
Hey, Utrice, how's it going?
Oh, well, it is election day, and we can't avoid all the things that we've been talking about. We can't avoid facing the fact that here we are, we're in the midst of it all. And by the end of the night, a decision would be made, hopefully, as to who is going to be the next tormentor of the people.
Yeah, well, today is the day, and you know, I was always planning to go out to vote, but I think the problem with this is there's, you know, we always say this, you know, politics is always local and not necessarily national, because the thing is that the national politicians don't have as much impact as local politicians. And one of my main reasons that I'm going out to vote is that there are some judges out there that are up for judgeship or re-election that don't need to be serving behind a bench. And, you know, collaborating with a couple of grassroots organizations and movements, we've gotten information on some judges that we don't want behind the bench. I mean, there are some judges out there who were former prosecutors of the John Birch case that are sitting on benches that are up for judgeships. And we're trying to spread the word out there saying, do not vote for these people. You know, there's some judges out there who are complicit in the prison to profit thing that's going on here in Chicago and Illinois. We also got the judge of Vincent Gallahan, the one who issued the gag order for the Laquan McDonald case, who is up for a judgeship. So we're trying to get the word out to say, please do not vote for these people. Please do not retain their judgeship. So I think it's the most important ballot that we can, you know, that we can probably vote for, because, you know, everybody is always concerned about, well, you know, we gotta vote for such and such. We gotta vote for Hillary because Donald's going to put the Supreme Court, and you've stated this before, and I totally agree with you. The Supreme Court nominees are not what I'm worried about. It is these local judges here who are complicit in police corruption, who are complicit in police terrorism, and who support police terrorism at the same point. So it is important to pay attention to what these judges are over and what they're ruling for, because that is much more important to me than voting for Hillary or voting for Trump or voting for Jill Stein.
Okay, but you still haven't said what your position is with regard to the big prize. So you moving that aside for today and concentrating only on the local?
Or yes, I am.
Are you eventually
going to?
Oh, so you're not voting for president then?
No. Well, yeah, not really. I'm going to write in my own name.
Okay.
I'm going to write in my own name. I hate to say this, but I really don't care who's the president, because whoever is the president, we're going to go through 4 years of hell. And I just feel like, you know, if we're going to protect ourselves politically, you know, the first thing we have to start with is the local elections here, especially judges. Local judges are one of the most important things that we have to take control of.
Well, a strong point. A strong point you're making here. And it is true. I contend, as you referenced, we don't need to worry about the Supreme Court too much.
Thank you.
The absolute slaughter is occurring in the lower courts. That's really where the fight is in the criminal justice system. Thanks, Henry. Thanks, and good luck.
Thank you.
All right. Henry for president. Henry of Chicago. From California, Yolanda, you're on the air.
Especially judges. Local judges are one of them.
Hello? Is Yolanda on the air?
Yes. Hello?
Yeah, hello.
Yes, hi, Eugene. Hi.
All right, you need to not speak on speaker, put the speakerphone on.
Oh.
Because
okay.
We get a lot of reverberation.
I got it. Took it off.
Okay. Just speak directly into the phone.
Yes, I did. I think the media, is really the one that shaped the election. Like, if 95% of the media is supported by the six billionaire entities, and to me, it says it all. Media are the one who conduct elections. Because I've been watching CNN. It's like every day, every minute, they're bombarding Donald Trump. It's like they are a mouthpiece. They are not a news media, news network. They are like a mouthpiece for Bill Clinton. And on top of all this, even Democracy Now! Is doing the same thing. I'm listening to Democracy Now! It's not the same Democracy Now! That I used to listen before. Amy Goodman is like beating up on Donald Trump every day. Every day she has something, some accusation, a woman is accusing Donald Trump, but she never mentioned, you know, the Clinton Foundation. I mean, you did such a wonderful job. You and Gary Knowles about Hillary Clinton Foundation. Imagine Democracy Now. We've been around for so long. People are trusting and they're taking money from special interests and they are not doing their job. And she should be ashamed of herself, you know? And really, when I look at it, people are afraid of Donald Trump because they have not done properly research Hillary Clinton. And it's because people don't have the opportunity to know the truth. How many people are going to put PRN and listen on their computer? You know, the mainstream media, they are not doing their job. They are like prostitutes, like Joel Selen is saying, prostitutes.
Robert Craig says it. But let me ask you, at the end of the day today, what would you have done or what would you have concluded?
What would
you be voting today?
Oh, I already vote. I'm overseas. I'm not even in the country, and I did my best. I voted for Jill Stein, of course. I voted for the greater good, not the you know, the lesser of two evils. I don't want to vote any evil. Why would I vote evil? I would rather uplift.
That's a good question. Why would anybody vote for the lesser of a really bad thing? That's a great question.
I mean, when you have a third party, a day like today,
I mean, this is the day where you just have to decide exactly what you're going to do today. There's no further delay. What does a day like today do to your thinking about politics, the scheme of things, where you fit, what the system means to you or you to it? These kinds of thoughts on a day like this, what do you think?
I think people should really use that as an opportunity to just uplift the Green Party. Because where do we go from here? We have two people. I mean, it's clear Donald Trump is much better than Hillary Clinton because she has done everything that he's talking about and more. I mean, she committed genocide. She committed crime against humanity. She's a thief. She's mafia at its best. She's a professional liar. For like 45 years, she's been lying her way to politics. She had her eyes on the presidency for like since she was 20 years old. She's a well-trained liar and mafia. So Donald Trump, you know, a lot of people didn't make that observation. I see Donald Trump like somebody who started as a 14-year-old boy, and through the process, there was a transformation that happened in Donald Trump when he started talking about Haiti and all the abuse Hillary Clinton, the foundation, did to Haiti. And he's talking like, you know, what the United States is doing in Syria. And he said he will negotiate with Putin, with China, which is really a good leader should do, negotiate with your enemies. He's anti-GMO. He's anti-vaccination. He's talking about against the flu vaccine, which no other candidate in history has ever spoken about. I mean, people, the media lies so much that people cannot even see what's going on. Donald Trump is talking about things. Hillary has done everything and more. So there's a huge difference. The fact that people have not done the research, it's like, everybody around me is voting for Hillary Clinton. And you cannot even talk to these people. You cannot even... I said to them, you know, I've been doing research for 30 years. You know, I've been passionate about news for 30 years. You have not done any research. And you think you can have a debate with me about the election? You don't know anything about this woman. Why don't you try to listen? If you really think WikiLeaks is legitimate, why don't you listen? You know, these people are blaming the sources of WikiLeaks, but they're not blaming the content of what's in the WikiLeaks. You understand? So to me, the media is responsible, the prostitute is responsible, including Amy Goodman, and she should really be ashamed of herself. And, you know, I think we should, all of us in PR and, you know, Lead Story, we should, you know, try to build up a team. We cannot just call the radio and talk. We should build a team to go behind the Green Party. To me, that's really the party of the people. And I don't think anybody should say, oh, I'm not voting. You should vote for the Green Party. We have to uplift it so the next election, so they can be participating in the debate. Because if the Green Party was able to participate in the debate, the people would have an opportunity to know what they stand for. But they didn't even have that opportunity in a country that is supposed to be democratic, the most democratic country in the world. So it's like, to me, this election also, I was reading something in Dr. McCullough. He had a great piece talking about this election. I cannot even talk to my husband anymore about politics. If I say Hillary Clinton, he get upset. You know, my sister, I cannot say Hillary Clinton. They get upset at me. Are you there, Richard?
Yeah, I'm listening. I always listen.
I mean, I'm listening. It's like everybody's fighting the on Facebook, you know. Everybody's like fighting with each other, you know, because people are not listening. People are not learning. People are not paying attention to say, hey, let me just have a look at mine and see what this woman is all about. I mean, there's so much information. There's no excuse for it. If the 95% of the media that is supported by 6 billionaire entities in the world is not telling you the truth, but you have the internet. I mean, I don't understand these people. And that's why I'm upset at the ignorance and the naivety. It's two things together, ignorance and naivety. People are naive, and even if you're naive, but in your ignorance, learn. Open your mind and say, let me see. What do you know about her? I want to hear. They don't even want to hear. And that's all I have to say today. And thank you again, Yuchis, for inviting Charles, you know, Hotel for all this month.
We are not done. We are not done at all with the Clinton Foundation. There's so much more coming. Thank you so much for your call today
together,
and for offering your opinions for our consideration. From Delaware, Emilio. What have you to say on this day?
Well, I already did. I voted Green Party. I knew I was going to do that all along, but I will tell you that I had family members that I thought were on board with the Green Party at the last minute. They bailed, and I think it's because they're afraid. They're afraid of, what people that support Donald Trump, that they'll be emboldened to act out even more. They happen to live in New York City, and they're confronted with racism all the time. So they just can't see themselves voting for Jill Stein.
What was it that made you, what was the definitive cause of you just ignoring the duopoly candidates, Trump and Clinton, and saying, I'm headed someplace else?
No, corruption. I've called in a couple of times, and I used corruption, I think, 40 times in my short conversation with you. But I used to be a diehard Democrat. I mean, I was like a lot of these people are today. When you would say something, if you were a Republican, I would filter everything through the Democratic lens, and that distorted everything. Once I decided that I didn't want to be a Democrat anymore, everything became clear, because I have no real party affiliation. I'm doing Green Party because they need the support. And I had to sign up as a Green Party. I had to register Green Party to get Jill Stein on the ballot in Delaware. But I was unaffiliated until that point, and it was corruption. Now that I'm no longer affiliated with the Democrats or the Republicans, I actually listen to Republicans now. And if they make sense, they make sense. I'm not distorting what they tell me. If it has merit, it has merit. If it doesn't, it doesn't. And it doesn't matter if it's a Democrat or Republican or anybody else. So I have that clarity now.
But you're not under any illusions about the chances of, quote, winning today by the Green Party. So there is something else that motivated you to make this choice. I mean, you have redefined winning for the purposes of this election. You have come to an entirely different definition of what winning is.
Yes. And I said this earlier. I don't believe it's going to happen overnight. I think Chris Hedges uses the Greek party, I can't think of the name, I think it starts with an S, and he said that they were polling at 4% about 10 years before they became the majority party in Greece. So I'm of the opinion that you have to start somewhere.
The Syriza party, yeah.
Yes, sir, that's correct. And it's like I didn't get to this point overnight. It was an evolution. And so, it's just going to take some time. But I almost got discouraged. And I wanted to vote for Donald Trump when I got, when I had these discussions with my family that they came over this weekend. And because I don't want Hillary and what she represents to represent this country, I thought that Donald Trump, in my opinion, he's the lesser of two evils, and I thought that at least with him, we could motivate people to say, hey, if we don't get off our butts, this is what we're going to get. And to me, that represents, in my mind, a revolution, whereas Hillary represents to me the status quo, and if she gets elected, everyone's just going to go right back to where they were. I know some people, like on the left, will get motivated and they'll get more determined, but a lot of people will just go right back to where they've been. And one other thing I want to say, I think a lot of voters are lazy. They don't want to do the work, just like the lady before me said, and I think it was the first lady. You know, Green Party hasn't been reaching out to me. Recently they have, a lot of emails, a lot of texts, phone calls. But part of that, they weren't reaching out to me. But you know what? I think as a citizen, it's my responsibility to find out all about the candidates and do my job and not sit around and let somebody tell me who to vote for. So I think a lot of people out there are lazy, and that's why they don't know anything. And one more thing. I'm taking classes in political science, and it's in an undergrad. It's in a two-year college, and we're not even talking about this election. So what does that tell you? We don't talk about things that are important. We just keep reiterating the same crap that they've been teaching us and telling us for 50, 60, 70 years, and that's our paradigm. And that's all we're doing. We're just regurgitating what's in textbooks, but we're not even talking about something as important as this in a political science class. What does that tell you?
So this transformation that you have made, was it just recent, or has it been something that has been with you for a while that you have generally gone outside of the mainstream? You did say that you were a Democrat, pretty loyal
That's
Democrat,
right.
But are you now definitively out of the party, you think? Or
yes.
Are you just, for the purposes
no,
of
I'm
this
out.
Election,
I'm done. Yes.
This was the practical thing to do?
No, I'm done. When I voted today, I only voted Green Party. I didn't vote any local, and then, you know, I can get criticized for that. But I didn't vote Democrat or Republican or anybody else. There were only three people on the ballot that represented the Green Party. Those were the only three I voted for. So I don't want to be part of that two-party system anymore. Okay? I'm not going to vote for them just because they're on the ballot. They have to stand for something, and they have to, you know, it has to, you know, they have to have the same values I have in order to support them. You know, we have a lot of power. It's just like when you go to the store, you can choose to buy an item or you can choose not to, a product. If you know that a product is made by a company that exploits people, then why would you buy that product and support that company? Same thing with your vote. Why support a candidate that is not representing you? We have a lot of power. We don't use it. People are afraid. They need to get away from. They need to get rid of that fear. Once they get rid of the fear, the clarity comes.
Well, you know, you just used my favorite word, clarity.
I know. That's why I figured I'd get some points.
sneaky guy. But don't forget now. You would say that these people are afraid or that they're lazy, but there's also a very real issue, and that is they are bombarded with so much propaganda. Their leaders have been co-opted, and the messages that they're getting more frequently than any other is that they have to go this way. They're not talking, and they're not exposed to people who give them an alternative point of view. So the media has played an extraordinary role here in shaping people's opinion. And it after a while, this is the whole purpose of propaganda. It wears you down. And you say, okay, well, and this goes to your point about being, quote, lazy, unquote. Sometimes it's not that the people are lazy. Sometimes it is that they are so overwhelmed by carefully constructed propaganda campaigns to just beat them into the ground into making the decision that the system wants them to make. This has been, and we will talk about that, how effective a tool in this election that propaganda has been, and the role of media in shaping public opinion.
Right.
Nobody in their right mind really would say Hillary Clinton is a great candidate, but she has been reformed, reshaped. You know, she has been cleaned up. She has had the undivided attention of the media. In fact, as you probably know, we discussed it here about how the media actually even sought approval from the campaigns and the candidates on both sides. Well, you know, they want to know that they're doing the right thing according to the candidates and their campaigns because there's so much money involved. This is the most expensive presidential race in U.S. history. And the media knew intuitively that they will be looking for a lion's share of those advertising dollars.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's the relationship. So what comes to us as coverage is really them fulfilling their contract with the candidates that are giving them the money.
Right.
But I just wanted to know from your perspective, do you sense in this election that inordinate role, a more pronounced role that the media have had?
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. I mean, there's no doubt about that. I mean, like I said, I had actually noticed that several months ago, and I was actually thinking about voting for Trump because there was so much negative publicity towards Trump. And I actually been, you know, I actually know about Hillary. I'm a Chris Hedges fan. I'm a Cornel West fan. These guys, I really respect them, these intellectuals, and I've been reading them. I know what Hillary's done all around the world. I know what she's done with the Clinton Foundation. I listened to your program. I'm sorry, I lost the question.
The media.
They can tell. I mean, I even go to a lot of websites on a daily basis, and sometimes even the ones that I thought that I could trust, it seems like they're doing the same thing. They're doing the same work as CNN and others. So I've gotten very, very critical as to what information I process. And you could say that that's kind of dumb because then you're not getting the other side. But I think that the other side, every time I look around and talk to people, I'm getting the other side. The side I don't get is the side that I kind of that attracts me. And I don't see people like that around me. Very rarely do I get into a conversation with someone that doesn't parrot what the mainstream media is telling them. So, yes, I think they've gone overboard trying to demonize Trump. And I like a fair fight, and that's why I said, you know what? Mm. I'm going to go for the underdog. I'm going to go for Donald Trump. But then I got my mind together over the weekend, and I said, I'm going to go Green Party. I'm not going to do the Trump thing. But I could see the point of a lot of the people on the right and how they feel about the liberal media. I always thought liberal media was baloney. And now I'm beginning to reassess that, too.
Well, I can't tell you what a great pleasure it is talking with you today. And
thank you
allowing us to get into your mindset and what you're thinking and the transformation, your political transformation. It's very exciting. And thank you so much for sharing it today.
And I'm not so radical. I may come across as radical, but it's just that I'm emotional right now.
You come across as a person seeking, what is that big word? Clarity.
Okay.
You have arrived at a point of clarity. This is really great and joyful news. Thanks so much for sharing it today. From the Bronx, Gino, you're on the air.
Hello, Utrice.
Hello.
Blessings from the highest holy creative one. Good to hear your voice again.
Thank you. So what are you thinking today, Gino, about this election? By the end of the day, what do you expect to be feeling or to have felt?
Well, I'll tell you, after this show, I'm going to go right out to the Botanical Gardens and do my meditation and get the strength to deal with the whole day. But basically, I got a few thoughts jotted down as I was hearing the fellow listeners. one, what's his name in Chicago, Henry?
Henry.
Henry, good points on the local, you know, situation with the judges. But, however, don't leave out the Jill Stein thing, because it is a process, and it's like the 12-step program, one day at a time, and she could get the 5%. I don't believe the polls. They lied about the LIBOR rates. They lie about unemployment. The 8 million disappeared under, you know, 8 million jobs there with the 08, and they got them back practically, they say, but they're at, you know, part-time and not the full-time work. So don't believe the polls. We know the media is like Medea with the snakes. Just vote your conscience. Vote for somebody who's actually for the people, and we can get that $10 million so she could continue, and others in the Green Party, to continue this, like with that Syriza movement in Greece. Or I heard the other day, even Abraham Lincoln, when he ran, he was considered an outsider, a spoiler. He won. So don't listen to them. The other thoughts, let's see, Bernie Sanders is half of the young people who are very idealistic, would go along with Jill Stein. It'll be a lot more than 5%. The other thing is, because basically in New York, she's pretty much got it wrapped up, I think. So we can afford to show some resistance there and some alternative for the future. The other thing is, you know, that's Haiti and Honduras. I got two co-workers, one from Haiti, one from Honduras. After what happened with Hillary, with the toppling the president of Honduras, you know, democratically elected. And in Haiti, people forget, you know, that Aristide was kidnapped. See, they like democracy, you know, only when it's for the results they want. It doesn't go that way. And people forget the whole thing you're doing with the Clinton Foundation and all that. Of course, audience, the situations with the drug situations, people going to jail, the people taken off of welfare. You know, we have yet as a nation to catch up to what Dr. King saw years ago. It's the content, the character. It's not because Obama's black or Hillary's a woman. She helped to destabilize the number one country in Africa with women's rights. So we have yet to catch up as a nation to the insight. It's the content, the character, and we're paying the price because we haven't listened to our leaders who are willing to sacrifice their lives to help us to wake up. So that's some other things on there that I wrote down. And, you know, so what else to say? You know, I was listening to, you know, if you listen to Daniel Sheehan, which even had Gary silent, you know, for two shows out of seven, he had him on six out of 8 weeks in a row, and he had him on recently a couple more times. And Danny's been talking about the Pope and the church in the Orthodox Church, in, you know, getting them closer in Russia, and the readings that Putin is involved with, the spiritual literature, you know, and that the third secret of Fatima had to do with the hope of with Russia, as even Edgar Casey said, the hope of the world, that man will live for his fellow man, not talk it, live it. So
at the end of the day today,
yes.
Will you have voted?
Oh, I will, yes. I will vote for Dr. Stein. We need a doctor for the sickness we're dealing with. A good doctor, a holistic doctor. She don't even smoke or drink. So I've heard her on quite a few interviews lately. What you said is true. She needs to get out there more in the communities of color. And I think with that $10 million, she could afford to do that more when the people who are working for her. So what I'm going to do is do that. I'm going to go out to the gardens first, like I say, do some meditation, feed my pineal gland, see the paintings that the goddess is painting with the colors in nature, and then come out of there and dive into the polling booth and do that part of it. I don't expect, you know, anything other than you know, one or the other of what to say. I mean, it's a disgrace when I hear that the Chinese are watching this debate and the rest of the world and the people we got up there. It's I feel ashamed. I almost want to put, you know, a sackcloth on myself and walk around. I mean, honestly, we laugh, but it's like
save
they said about hell.
Gino. Save the sackcloth.
Yeah,
Lord,
yeah.
Thanks so much
I'll
for your opinion today.
Aside.
Thanks for
listen.
For
stay well. It's good to hear you out there, and I'm glad you're still doing well. And the listeners, you got the great. I tell you, nobody else can get the callers and with the flow and the time given. Very respectful, you trees. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks so much,
you're
Ivan
welcome.
From Brooklyn.
You
are going to close out the show today.
Okay.
Utrice, I don't have much time, I guess, but I just wanted to tell you how I voted. I was struggling with a lot of what you said in your shows. Let me tell you, I've been listening to you since the AI. I was even a volunteer, passed you by in the hallway without saying a word. So just to give you an idea of how much you influence
me. So we go back a long way without my even knowing that. Right?
So I took a lot of in consideration what you said during the show, and I was struggling with it. I mean, no doubt you think Hillary is a fortress, but the Supreme Court has me worried. And then I found out about an app, and really I have no economic interest in this particular app, but it's called the Never Trump app, where you're in, where you
You know, Ivan, I don't know if you're walking, but there's a lot of interference on the line.
I'm using a cell phone. That's why.
Okay.
I hope you can hear me better. Okay.
Stand still for a little while so you're not cracking up. Okay?
Oh, can you hear me now?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Okay. The name of the app is called the Never Trump app. And this app allows you to get in contact with third-party voters in battleground states. So I made contact with people from other battleground states, and I voted for Jill Stein, and she voted for Hillary. So it was, in essence, I traded my vote. And I think people should look it up on YouTube, or you'll see it on Facebook. And the app is called the Never Trump app, and I think it's a pretty good deal. Again, you know, my concern is the U.S. Supreme Court. They can't have someone like Trump making a decision. So I hope people would take that approach who hasn't voted yet. Hello?
So have you voted yet? Or
yes,
do you intend to vote today?
I already voted. Like I said, I traded my vote with someone in Ohio.
Yes.
That person voted for Hillary Clinton in Ohio, and I voted for Jill Stein. It's an app, and it's sort of like the equivalent of Uber or Airbnb. This may be.
How does that cancel? I mean, how does that cancel your vote or shore up your vote? Your intention was not to have a vote for a particular candidate, and in trading off, you actually give somebody else the permission to do so. So how does that make
well,
the...
Well, you know, I've been doing a lot of thinking, and you know, I listen to many of your guests, I listen to many of your listeners, and this may come as a little, you know, brutal, but in politics, no one's going to come out smelling like roses. You got to roll with the pigs. You got to make deals with the devil for greater good. I'm really, you know, this is real politique. And I'm thinking...
You're getting all sophisticated now. Real politique.
Oh, it's Henry Kissinger, real politique. You know, I run into this guy, too. I've seen Henry because he lives on the east side. On 52nd Street, as a matter of fact. And I see him always with bodyguards when he's walking his dogs. And it's real politique. And my concern is the Supreme Court. You can't have these bozos voting in more radical judges vis-a-vis Alito or the guy who just died recently. You know, and that
Scalia.
Would be my concern. And my concern really is the Supreme Court. And I know you say, oh, you know, you get screwed in the lower courts. And I agree with you. But I the Supreme Court is just as important. And I could tell you from my own personal experience, I've been affected by the Supreme Court through the Americans with Disabilities Act, the way it's interpreted. Because I'm a veteran. I lost partial hearing. And the way the Americans with Disabilities Act has been interpreted by the Supreme Court is that a person needs to be, like, completely disabled, needs to qualify. And in order to qualify, you have to be completely disabled. And I've been denied a lot of jobs because of that. Even though I'm a veteran, I'm fully qualified. I scored high on all the exams. But they used my hearing deficit as a basis to disqualify me. And I am not a protected person under the Americans with Disabilities Act. Consequence
is
of
it,
a
is
conservative...
it possible that it, the America, the ADA is not the problem?
I think it's
is
the
it
way
possible
the
that you're actually
it.
Fighting a whole different fight
that
was
that
was framed in 1857, called the Dred Scott decision?
Well, I haven't thought of it that deep, but I'm going to take a look into that, and maybe you could explain to me why I should look at the Dred Scott decision.
Yeah, you should, because the Dred Scott decision defined and made it clear. It's not about, the system has 500,000 different ways to do you out of what you are entitled to, because we are in an apartheid society. So they'll find different ways. Now, they're telling you it's on the basis of your disability, but it may very well be something entirely different.
Yeah, I can't argue that. That doesn't surprise me. There's certain cats that I know who've got the job, I wonder myself, how they got it, because their score wasn't even remotely close to what I scored. That both
Hello. You see what I'm talking about? That's exactly my point. You're looking at racial discrimination. I would suggest you take a look at that. Not so much within the context of the ADA, but in the context of the EEOC. If you have proof that you came in much more qualified than people who were hired, I think it doesn't have to do with
Americans
ADA.
With Disabilities Act. Well, there are many other ways.
You're going to close out for us today, so with a summary.
I would tell the people from PRN to look at the Never Trump app and may want to consider trading their vote. I think it's more effective if they vote in a battleground state for Hillary and you vote for Jill Stein. That's sort of my approach this election cycle. And I'm sure it will be more prominent as we go on, because I think it's a great idea. It's like Uber and Airbnb. And
thank you so much.
I'm glad you're
doing. We have to close out because we're running out of time. But thank you for contributing. Thank you all for contributing. It is such a pleasure to hear your true voices and your outlooks. Stay tuned. Coming up next, the NDC Savings Club. You can reach me at leadstories@gmail.com. We will be, of course, looking at the results tonight and talking about that tomorrow. A pleasure always, and a great privilege to be in your company. Bye-bye.